Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon. How are you there?
Well, let me bring the microphone down here to where I can talk.
This is definitely professional radio.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Bring a garden guy in here and let him operate the radio, okay?
With the microphone in the ceiling.
Well, yes, good afternoon. It's another spring day out there.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah, way good. Lots of kids, lots of grandkids,
nice.
And friends, and way too much food. We're still eating it, and I'm getting tired of turkey and ham, okay?
Turkey and ham, yeah.
And we're all out of banana cream pie and all the other goodies.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff everybody hate, you know? Oh, boy. Well, anyway, thank you for listening, if you are, and if you're not, you should be. And if you have any questions about your garden, your yard, your trees, your shrubs, your lawns, all that kind of stuff, please don't hesitate to call 673-4464. Ask me the question, and we'll come up with an answer, and most often I'm pretty right on, so you can take it to the bank. But this show is about landscaping ideas, gardening ideas, suggestions, and things like that. And then I throw in a few personal tidbits here and there that probably don't make any sense, but that's okay. I do it anyway. And but the questions, in fact, like here's something that occurred to me the other day. I was parked in a parking lot, and I can't remember exactly where. And there was three flowering plums over in the planter. I was about 15 feet from them, parked in my truck. Mm-hmm. And I looked up at them, and I'm just looking at them, and it dawned on me there was foliage on them. I thought, what in the world? I thought it lost all its leaves. And on closer inspection, it wasn't the leaves. It was the flower buds for the spring, which don't normally occur till about February. So this weather pattern that we're experiencing is kind of got some of the things all upside down. They think it's spring and they're already starting to bud up to bloom, and that's crazy. I've never seen that before. What's this?
That was the name I was trying to think of.
Oh, I see. Okay. He handed me a note. I can't say nothing about it. But at any rate, I thought, man, it's too early for this. So this weather has really kind of turned things around. Now, today when it was 60 degrees, 61 degrees, mm-hmm. I'm driving in my truck with my window down, my arm out, and, you know, enjoying the weather. But on the other hand, it's not raining, and it should be raining. We haven't had hardly any rain this month, you know.
Well, and Pete's sakes, it's already December.
This month, right? We haven't had any rain this month.
No, we have not.
Or not much in November or October or September. But, I keep track of all this weather stuff, and for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, I'm not sure, 4 for sure, we have had a decrease in precipitation annually each one of those years. You know, we used to get, 34 inches, 35 inches a year. Now, you know, then we were getting, we got 30 and then 29 and 28, and, it's been going down each year. This year we haven't. Those little rainstorms we had didn't do much. My little creek is barely running, and this time of year it should be just gushing through the culvert breaking loose and washing all the dead wood down and all that kind of stuff. But the problem with that is that if this continues and we don't have a couple of really good storms, say December, January, and February, a couple of them in each month, that we're going to be short on water again, and even shorter on water next summer than we were in the previous summer. So it's something that you need to think about for your gardens, for your lawns, and that kind of thing. And make sure that you are discreet in your watering so that it will last a long time. And if everybody paid attention to how much they watered, and everybody meaning parks and recreation areas that seem to turn on the sprinkler because they draw right out of the river or something like that, and water and water and water and water, they ought to get a get a little smarter.
And businesses that spray down their parking lot.
Yeah, whoa. And wash sidewalks off with water that goes down the drain. Oh, my gosh, that drives me nuts.
Bing bong.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the sidewalk's clean. Anyway, be paying attention to the weather. See what the weather does. You know, keep an eye on your plants. And, in fact, this morning, we turned on our sprinkler system at the nursery because some of our potted trees are dry. Mm. Normally, this time of year, they're soaking wet because it rains so much. Right. But there are some of our larger trees or conifers and things like that that are dry. Not all the way bone dry like summer or like August or anything, but for this time of year, dry. And so turned on the sprinklers and soaked them down because who knows
whatever else could you do?
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, if they're dry and all of a sudden the weather turned and there would be a heavy freeze, it would kill the plants because there's no insulation on the root system.
Right.
And the water does insulate the root systems and keeps them alive. So, at any rate,
it all works in a circle.
Yes, it does. So, but here's the other part. Now is the time to start your yard pruning. I mean, just go for it. Get after it. It's they're dormant. Who knows? If this weather keeps up, they may think it's spring next week and start growing again, for crying out loud. But start your yard pruning. You know, the shrubs that you've been ignoring or afraid to prune because they were growing, and it wouldn't have hurt them to prune them anyway. But now you can whack them back with safety. Knock those trees back. If the trees are too big, there's plenty of tree people around in business that can help you do that kind of thing. But start, and you know, November, December, January, those 3 months are usually the best months to do any heavy-duty pruning. And they, like I say, they're mostly dormant. And the weather is actually pretty nice. It shouldn't be, but it is pretty nice. We've got no rain, no snow, nothing. But it's a good time for any yard work that needs to be done. I mean, you can actually go out there and not get soaking wet or freezing cold. As soon as the fog lifts in the morning, I love the fog. Yes, oh gosh, I hate it. But as soon as the fog lifts, you can go out there in your T-shirt and shorts, for crying out loud, and work in your yard. You know, where I live out in the country there, about 6 miles west of Winston, it's so foggy you can hardly see maybe 50, 60 feet.
And,
you know, I'm leaving 6 in the morning, quarter to 6, something like
and
that.
It's still kind of dark.
Oh, yeah, it's dark, and the fog, and then the deer, that's when the deer like to jump out in front of you. They wiggle their tails and go, oh, hi, you missed me. But, yeah, it's amazing to me. I get down on Highway 42, and it's still dark. It's still very foggy, and I think I see something coming in the other lane toward me.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it is something. It's somebody in a car with no lights on.
Oh, what a...
Yeah, yeah. And I experience that, maybe two or three of those every morning, and I can't believe it. I can't see with all my lights on, and here they're driving without lights. And I'm thinking, are you insane, or you just got X-ray vision, maybe? I don't know.
High on something.
Yeah, it's still high from the partying or something. So please, turn your lights on in the fog. My goodness.
For Pete's sakes.
So, you know, we don't have, normally, you know, like I say, we don't have weather this nice in November. You know, it's usually pouring and cold, which you know.
Windy.
And you go, oh, man, I don't want to go outside. And so I'll freeze to death or I'll get soaked, yeah. But this, well, like I said, this weather is not normal for our area. And in fact, it hasn't been normal for the past 4 years because it's declining precipitation.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's not raining as it once did. And and each year, if we get less rainfall and less snowpack, the rivers, the creeks, the streams, and all that have less of a tendency to flow fully and clean themselves out, if you will, and dump into the rivers and fill the ground with groundwater for our trees, our shrubs, and those kinds of things. And this past summer, I noticed so many, and I've talked about this throughout the summer, so many young Douglas fir that are, 20, 25 feet tall in stands on different ranches and different places and just brown up because of the lack of rain, lack of soil moisture. And it's a shame. And of course, then we have the fires
that
drier than a bone up there and with the wind and perfect fire weather. So
sure.
that's why we need that soil moisture. So,
and more devastation with the fires.
Right. So if you are in the process of landscaping your yard, think drought-resistant plants. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Like the vine in my front.
Yeah, the vine you keep that keeps growing back when you try to kill. Yeah, I want, like I said, dig me up part of it. Okay. I'm gonna grow it and sell it as a ground cover or something.
There you go. Yeah. I will. They're kind of small again.
Well, you keep chopping them down for crying out loud. Well, your neighbor did, didn't he?
Well, the neighbor did this time. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a no-kill plant. I mean,
absolutely.
So if you need something that you can't kill, Dale will sell you them. drought-resistant plants, you know, they're got to be hardy. They are hardy. They don't need that weekly watering and all that stuff. And you put lots of mulch on them, and you're good to go. I mean, that'll keep the moisture in there. And after planting... After planting these drought-resistant plants, you know, you put 4 to 6 inches of mulch around the base of the plant, and you'll conserve the moisture even more than what the plant needs. So during the summer, water deeply, like no more than, say, once a week, and if that, and if you can water, it'd be better if you could stretch your watering out to every 10 days. You know, hardy shrubs and trees can survive and grow with this type of watering. And I've done it for years at my own place just to test. My plants probably hate me because I'm always testing them. I'm always experimenting.
Test on something else.
Yeah, go pick on that other, pick on that vine maple or that oak over there. Yeah, leave me alone. I'm a rhododendron.
I can do it.
Yeah, so I've got some rhododendrons off my front deck, and I think I watered them maybe twice this past summer. Of course, we have a phone call?
We do have a phone call.
All right, I got a message.
Hey, though, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello.
Hey, thank you very much. Hello, Mike. Hey, Mike, I wonder if you could give a little advice on how to deal with the intense turkey infestation in the Roseburg area. I live in the Newton Creek area up on the hill, and they're just everywhere.
And you got some turkeys?
Yeah, about 90 of them on my lawn the other morning, and I kid you not,
gosh,
that's about how many there were.
How big is your shotgun?
Yeah. I don't have one, but I know somebody owns one.
You might want to borrow one. I don't know what to do. I mean, it seems like there's more turkeys this year than I've seen in the last decade. They're everywhere. They're in town. They're on they're everywhere. And they seem to, it must have been a couple of good years for them because there are babies running not now, but in the spring when the baby turkeys were hatching, I mean, I'd see 20 or 30 of them in a batch. And I honestly do not know how to get rid of them other than kill them. I just don't know, flat go kill the turkeys and waste them.
I've used netting because they don't like to stumble around the netting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That helps, but then you have to deal with the netting yourself.
And then they'll get all tangled up in that probably and make a mess in that.
Yes.
But
There
may be, I have a couple of clients that have these motion water sprinklers.
I bought one.
Did you?
I got one. It helped a little bit.
A little bit? Okay.
Yeah. Not consistently, but it did help. It actually did a better job of keeping deer away.
Well, that's why she bought this one. And inadvertently, when I wasn't paying attention, of course, I walked in front of it, and it got me here last week. got me good. I thought, what is that? You know, I'm
so glad. Yeah, and I don't learn very well. I've done it several times to myself.
you got to point the nozzle in a different direction. That's all.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for you on the turkey thing, other than the water deal. I don't know if a scarecrow would work.
You're only as good as your neighborhood. The neighborhood works together to do the same thing you are. But if you have a next-door neighbor who's feeding him to impress his kid, that just ruins the whole thing.
Yeah, I've experienced that myself. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and I helped him refurbish a tree, a beautiful tree in their front yard that was a wedding gift that they thought had long since died from deer and turkey. I helped him revive it, and it actually bore a little fruit this year. And then now he's back to feeding the turkeys, and the whole thing's been destroyed again.
Have you explained to him that when you feed the turkeys, not only will they come and eat the food, but they'll eat their trees and shrubs as well, or jump on them?
Yep. I think that he's sort of content with, okay, well, my backyard looks pretty good. Well, it's all fenced in. Think what you could do if you did a little prevention on the front.
Well, the turkeys can fly over fences, man.
I've seen them go airborne like a hovercraft.
Yeah.
When they're scared, you're moving in quick. They'll do that.
I know. Well, thank you for the call. Right. I'm sorry I didn't have an answer.
All right. You take care.
Bye-bye.
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 Is it legal to shoot those things?
I don't know. I don't know. There is a wild turkey season, I believe.
Ah, okay.
But when they come and destroy your yard, I'm not sure. I mean, how do you get rid of them?
Don't tell anybody when you shoot them.
That's true. Have a silencer.
We'll be back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show in just a couple of minutes.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
All righty, another segment underway with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show.
Well, I can't answer questions about turkeys, but I can answer questions about plants. So good try, and if I knew, I'd tell you.
And we need to find out if it's so-called legal to get... To exterminate?
I don't know. I truly don't know. Probably ask the state cop. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
Or game warden, I'm sure. Anyway, I was talking about drought-resistant plants or kind of leaning in that direction.
Yeah.
And so what are they? Well, they're the conifers. They're the tough stuff. They're the junipers. You know, and when I say junipers or somebody says junipers, most folks don't realize how many varieties of junipers there are available in different shapes, colors, growth habit.
Sizes.
Ultimate size. Some stay low to the ground. Some get, the ground cover type. Some of them get 4 or 5 feet tall and spread. And then you've got the tree junipers that, grow wild in eastern Oregon where they get, very little precipitation. And... So those are a variety of plant that will, now they don't bloom, no, that's true, but they're green. Some of them are gold, some of them have a purple tinge to them. There's the old gold junipers, which are my favorite because they're bright. Their new growth is bright yellow and very attractive, and they like the sun, and you don't have to mess with them, and they just grow. And they don't get diseased. after a few years, you got to kind of prune them back so they don't take over your yard. But other than that, they're something that you can grow. And there's probably 50 or 60 varieties of different types of junipers from, like I say, low ground cover to ones that are very tall.
They all do well here?
Oh, all of them do well. Another type of drought-resistant plant is their cotoneasters, or they're kind of a ground cover, evergreen as well. And kinnikinick, which is a wild ground cover that we have here in our mountains and in kinnikinick.
Sounds like something from China.
Kinnikinick. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's spelled just like it sounds. It's easy. But
I'm not going to try.
Don't. They'll kick me off the air. But it flowers, and as does the cotoneaster, it has a small flower. And there are different kinds of shrubs like abelia, which can grow 5-6 feet tall and wide, which make they're evergreen, they have kind of a white pink flower on them most of the summer. They're a drought lover. I mean, if they never got water, yeah, they're gonna probably die. But if you could water them twice a month, from June, July, August, and September, that's only 8 waterings for a whole year.
Wow.
And that's only the first year or two. After that, they're pretty much on their own. And as with the junipers, just get them started that first year. You don't soak them. You just give them enough water to stay alive and grow, and they're going to do it for you. Hopefully the weather pattern does change and we can get more rain, more snow, that kind of stuff, real winter weather. And then you can get, if you're going to do azaleas and rhododendrons and say camellias, which are beautiful, evergreen, flowering, and all that kind of stuff. And it seems like, you know, very popular in Douglas County, Southern Oregon. But they need a little bit more, water and fertilizer to get started, because their roots are more on the surface, whereas these other things, they develop root systems that go down very deep, and the deeper they go, the more apt they are to survive in very dry and hot conditions, whereas rhodies, azaleas, camellias, most of them like partial shade, and if you can create partial shade, and I'll get into that in a little bit, you're going to have more success and less watering that you have to do to keep your shrubs alive.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just stuff you got to figure out, and if you go to a nursery, ask the people, you know, I want some drought type plants that won't die without water, and you know, we can show you at our nursery, because that's what we specialize in.
Yeah.
And we also grow the ones that need water, and mm-hmm. if you've got an abundance of natural water, a creek, a spring, a lake, whatever, where you don't have to worry about irrigation, hey, you're good to go. But
I got a question about the water.
What?
How about sulfur water? What do they call it? Like
sulfur water?
Yeah, does that bother the plants?
I'm not sure. I think turkeys like it, but I'm not sure.
Too bad it didn't kill
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was just
thought of that. Have you ever drank any of that?
Oh, ugh.
Yeah, it's terrible.
My cousins lived on that stuff.
So why would a plant like it?
I
don't know.
I suppose you get used to it, but
yeah.
Yeah,
you could, I guess.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. Rotten eggs.
Yes. But in the summertime, and I mean, when I say summer, I'm, you know, just like July is summer. June is still a kind of a cool month. We don't get back-breaking heat in June. You know, it might get up to 90 or 85, and that's not killer heat. And you can water, you know, once in June and maybe twice in July and twice in August on your plants, and maybe once again in September. And that's all they need to survive if you water deeply. Mm. It's when you just kind of sprinkle them on, and, you know, sprinkler systems are good and convenient and all that kind of stuff. But normally, they're not used correctly with shrubs or trees, because they're either on too long or they're not on long enough. And there's a happy medium that you have to achieve, and you can't achieve that until you actually do some digging in your soil after you water and see how deep that water did get. Did it only get an inch or two? Then you're not doing it long enough. If it gets down there 8 or 10 inches, hey, you're good to go. But how long do you have to keep that sprinkler system mm-hmm. on to get it down to 8 or 10 inches? You know?
Achieve your goal.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where mulch comes in. And that's bark mulch. I love that stuff. It helps the soil. It conserves moisture. It's nutritious for plant growth. It's really good. And some folks, I see a lot of new landscapes nowadays that use drain rock or gravel instead of mulch. Well, the rock doesn't break down and feed the plants where the mulch does. In the drain rock, yeah, there, it's permanent. You don't have to mess with it, and you don't have to rake it or anything like that. It's in place, and you can walk on it, and you're not disturbing anything. But when that hot summer sun comes out and you've got some plants planted in it, you know, the rocks heat up. Go mm-hmm. ahead in the middle of July, pick up a rock, and you'll see how hot it is. Well, even when the sun goes down, that rock retains its heat, and it also transmits the heat into the soil, into the root system where this plant is trying to grow. And so consequently, you're having problems with your plants because of the rock. But whereas in mulch, it's going to, the top of the mulch is going to look dry. And you might dig down an inch and maybe 2 inches, and it's still dry. But you get down there about 4 or 5 inches, and you'll see moisture. You'll see dampness. You'll see coolness, even on a hot summer day, even on a hot day in August, okay? That's how that works. So think about that as we go into this cycle of no rain. Okay. How what are you going to do to your yard this next summer? How are you going to treat it? How are you going to water it? Just don't flip the switch on your sprinkler and expect it to work. On lawns, it's a different story, but I'm talking about shrubs and trees at this point. Lawns are a whole different ball game, and I can talk about that, and I've already talked about that 100 times anyway. But even on lawns, a deep watering once a week is more beneficial than watering it for 10 minutes a day every day and expecting good results, because it won't happen because it doesn't get down into the roots. It just kind of settles the dust and cools the grass blades off for about 15 minutes while the sun is shining. But if you water a good half an hour before sunrise or after sunset, and you do that once a week, your lawn's going to survive. It's still going to look good. It's still going to be green. That's when we've got a lot of maintenance customers. We've got banks. We've got we do all the Umpqua banks in the county. Ooh, and
nice.
And we've got lots of long-term clients that we've taken care of their yards for years, and they have lawns. We set up their sprinkler system in the spring, late spring, you know, sometime maybe May, depends on the weather again, and we set the clock and watch it and monitor it, and you know, once a week, that's about all it takes is a good rain. We got a call,
but we had to go to break real quick.
Let's go to a break and we'll get a call.
Hang on there, caller. We'll be right back with you. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Caller, are you still there with us?
I'm still hanging on.
All right.
What's your question?
I got a question regarding lawn and fertilization.
Okay.
Background is, this summer I did a little roundup on the bad spots in my lawn.
Uh-huh.
And 1st of October, I reseeded the whole thing.
Okay.
And I laid down a little triple 16 when I reseeded, and I've given it another light dusting of triple 16 a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if I should give another shot of fertilizer and what type to button it up for the winter.
Okay. With this kind of weather, it's obviously still growing, but let me put it to you real bluntly. Don't use triple 16. Triple 16 was invented for pastures. It's not a lawn fertilizer formula at all. There are specific lawn fertilizers that are just for lawns, and their percentages of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are different, and there's an explanation on each sack, and you can read it. But triple 16, when the moisture hits it, 100% of the power of the fertilizer goes into the lawn. So it's like if you were really hungry and you ate two Snickers bars and then tried to go do some work. I mean, it would your energy would last for a short time, and then boom, it's gone. Well, it's the same thing with triple 16 on a lawn. So you can fertilize another time lightly. You know, as long as it doesn't dip down into the 20s or something like that, and but do it with a real lawn food that'll say lawn food on it. And
what numbers of lawn food would you recommend?
The first number is nitrogen, and that could be like 18 or 20%, 22%, and then the phosphorus would be around 10, and the potassium would be around 10 as well. So the first number is always the highest for lawn food.
Right.
And then the next two. And try to get a slow release so it doesn't all go at once. You know, the moisture hits it, you water it in, and only a percentage of that food gets into the – it's a slow feed, a long, slow feed, and that's what you want.
Okay. Well, right now it's looking beautiful.
Well, yeah.
And I'll follow your advice and get some of that and put it on.
Well, I take care of about 40 or 50 lawns here in Douglas County, so that's what I do, and that's why all my lawns look really great.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Well, I appreciate your time and your knowledge.
You're welcome, and I appreciate the call, sir.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank
you. Good day.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Now we're waiting for you to call. We got lines
yeah,
open.
Where are you? Why don't you call us?
What's the number there, Mike?
673-4464. We'll get you right in here to the plant shop, okay?
The hotline.
The hotline, yeah. and this kind of, it doesn't pertain to this kind of weather, but as I was talking in the last segment about watering, water prior to the sun coming up, and after the sun goes down, don't water in the heat of the day. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of water. 50% of the water, if it's 89 degrees or 95 degrees and you're watering your lawn from a sprinkler or a hose or whatever, 50% of that water is not even penetrating. It's being evaporated into the sky because of the heat. So if you do it when it's cool, the water gets down into the root system, and that's where it does the most good. And you're not wasting water, and you're not paying for water you wasted that went into clouds, okay? And keep that in mind. Water when it's dark.
Get the most for your bang.
Yes, and you'll see a tremendous difference in your lawn. And like I said, I was telling that gentleman, I think we take care of 40, 50 different lawns at different places, banks and retirement homes.
That's a couple.
And individual homes and things like that. And if it looks green, leave it alone right now. If you see a little bit of light green or even a little bit of yellow, put a small amount of lawn food on it, and it'll green up, but it won't grow fast because it's not warm. But at least it's healthy, and it'll stay healthy through the winter. And if we do get some snow or some really cold weather, it will be strong enough to withstand that. The root system will be strong enough to withstand that, and it may turn a little light green or even a little bit yellow because of if the temperature drops way down there. But as soon as that cold weather dissipates and goes away, it greens right back up because it wants to grow. And just kind of keep that in mind and balance that out. But Triple 16, it's good for pastures, honest. It's great for pastures. It's great for fruit trees, maybe, orchards and things like that. But it was specifically designed for pastures, and it's 100% water soluble. In other words, you hit it with the water, and bingo, it releases its energy. So it's if you only ate once a week, every Saturday you ate a meal, and you had to wait till the next Saturday to eat rather than have meals every day.
Kind of like a starvation diet.
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah. But it's fast growth. It produces fast growth, and that's for pastures.
That's what you need.
You make hay,
yeah,
and you've got cows or sheep to feed or horses to feed. Hey, you want that? You want that grass growing, and that's what it's for. So, anyway, that's something that you need to. You need to keep in mind on all your landscapes, because as I see this weather pattern, we don't have any snow up in the mountains right now. So where's going to be the stream flow next summer? Maybe we'll have some storms here. It was December. We got December, January, February. We may have some fantastic.
A couple of weeks left.
Yeah. About 8-10 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not paranoid yet. But if it stays 61 degrees all winter by April, I'm not going to be feeling really
That's
good about
LA
it.
LA weather.
Yeah, it's LA weather. No wonder they're nuts down there. But anyway. But
you said it, I didn't.
One way to also conserve on water is in a shaded yard. If all your shrubs, say, are in full sun all the time, it takes more water to keep them alive. But if you have a few shade trees around, that shade keeps the ground cool, keeps the plant cool, and consequently it doesn't use as much water. So when you're landscaping and you're putting something like that together, think about what that shade will do. It'll be, it not only will cool your house, cool your yard, but it also cools the plants that you have around in your yard. And even if it's only half a day, say it's shady from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till sundown, great, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. It can be, you know, when the sun comes up all the way to 1 o'clock, it's in sun, which is not the hot part of the day. That's the cool part of the day. And you will use less water to keep your plants healthy and alive. It's that simple.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And if everybody, you know, I go by all these new housing tracts I see in different sections of the county. Mm-hmm. And there's a pretty little house, and there'll be maybe a new lawn in the front, but no trees. Mm. No trees anywhere. I mean, even if they had one tree in the front yard, right, on the west or the south side to create shade in the long run, mm-hmm, if everybody did that, the whole thing would be a lot cooler by, you know, 2 or 3 degrees, maybe 5 degrees on a hot day.
That is noticeable.
Yeah. And like we were talking about
Laurelwood.
We were talking about that and all those older houses. And you drive through that neighborhood with, mm-hmm, all those trees and on a hot afternoon, it's cooler in Laurelwood than it is downtown Roseburg, for crying out loud. And they're less than a mile apart.
Yeah.
And it's because of the shade trees.
Right.
And they just don't use as much water to keep their lawns green or their rhododendrons alive and, mm-hmm, and things like that. In fact, I've seen a couple of rhodies and camellias over there in bloom over the years that they must be 12 feet tall.
Good heavens.
And 10 feet wide, and they're gorgeous. But they have that filtered sun most of the day, or filtered shade, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, from 5 o'clock on, when it's really hot, those shade trees, there's all those oak trees and everything, they're shading most of that neighborhood, and that's why they have pretty yards. That's why everything is more green there than it is in Eucrest, say,
mm-hmm,
or one of the brand new subdivisions.
Yeah.
That's
Newton Creek or whatever.
Newton Creek, right. Yeah. Well, Newton Creek's not bad either because there's there are a lot of older homes there that do have a few good shade trees in there, especially on as you're going up Newton Creek on the right-hand side of the road. There's that hill behind it, and so there's more natural vegetation and consequently more cool atmosphere, mm-hmm, that they live in. Simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. Yeah.
And when you save water, we have water. when we think about conserving water, if everybody got on board with conserving water, we wouldn't have any water shortages. Everybody would have enough to keep things going and make sure it came out of your tap and you could drink it. So if you don't have any shade, plant some trees, for crying out loud. It's okay.
It's mandated.
I am the president of Wintergreen Landscaping, and I mandate that you plant a shade tree. and you can buy them wherever you want, but I got the better ones.
you do.
Yeah, and as far as shade trees are concerned, your fastest growing ones are your maple trees, and there's so many varieties of maple trees. It's amazing. I mean, they're beautiful, they're colorful, and most of them grow fairly fast, and they'll create a bunch of shade in no time at all. So if you've got a brand new home and you're moving into it and you think, man, this is cool, I want a landscape, first thing you think about is how many trees can I fit in this yard that won't be a hassle, mm-hmm, that I can plant them far enough apart yet create some coolness.
Right.
And all the landscape magazines that I read, sometimes they have an article about how one or two shade trees in a yard will actually reduce the air conditioning necessity in your home because the yard is cooler on the outside. So your house is cooler. You're using less energy. So there's a lot of practical things one can do to save on that. So we got a call?
Nope. Got a break.
Got a break. Same thing.
Well, we'll be right back. A couple of minutes yet here on Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. It's Wednesday, December 1st.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there. It's 4:53 now, and the boss, Kyle, he came in with something. What did he give you?
Yeah, well, I was talking about temperatures earlier, and he said, here's a list of the current temperatures right now. L.A., sunny and 63. Denver, sunny and 65. Phoenix, sunny and 79. Seattle's got light rain, 55.
Seattle always got rain.
I know. I wouldn't want to live in Seattle for a lot of reasons, but that's one of them. Medford, partly cloudy, 46. Portland, rain, and 58. I don't want to live in Portland either.
Well, that's your favorite town.
Yeah, right. Bend, sunny and 62. And even better, this is Kyle.
Kyle Town.
Lahaina, Maui, sunny and 79.
Nah.
Kihei, Maui, sunny and 82. Well, that's where the sun belongs, over in Hawaii. But they have torrential rains. I lived on Oahu for a year, my last year in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And when it rained, baby, it rained. I mean, the streets were flooded.
Whoa, man.
And it's a lot of hills there, so you're going over the Pali Mountain there to mm-hmm. get to the other side of the island, and it's like a river running down the highway. You got to be very, very cautious and careful.
That's scary.
Big time. Big time. Oh, golly.
We'd panic if it did it here.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't know how to handle it. And the guys that drive without their headlights on in the fog, they would love it.
Well, I was going to call them a name, but I got to be nice.
Not on my show. You don't call them names, never.
Those nice fellas that don't know how to turn their headlights on.
Yeah. But, you know, as I was talking in the last segment about the shade trees and how it does cool your yard, think about it this way. How would you like you as a person sit in the sun on a 90-degree day all day out there in the sun or sit under a nice shade tree? Plants feel the same way, you know? They do better in the partial shade. And the more shade we create, remember this, the cooler our yards are, the shrubs do better, and you use less water. It's a win-win for the plants and the people. So, I mean, you know, and that's not a government mandate. That's not Joe Biden telling we have to do it. That just that's common sense.
Okay, yeah.
That's something we can all do.
And sometimes we don't have common sense, but
I know.
That's another topic.
Yeah. Well, I was going to get into proper landscape planning importance, but we only have, a few minutes left?
Well, about 4 minutes.
4 minutes. And I'll probably go into this next week in depth because I wrote a bunch of stuff about, you know, how to and I know I've discussed it before, but I wanted to give people an idea of what happens when somebody calls me and says, hey, I want a bid or I want a plan or I want a consultation and talk about the process and how that process goes, because there's a lot of people out there that they just don't know how to landscape, or they don't know the plant materials and how they're gonna grow or how large
they want to do it, but they just don't.
And it's fun to do. It's fun to get in there and dig in the dirt and plant some plants and watch them grow. It's okay, like that weed in your yard that grows 3 feet a day.
And it brings company with it.
Yeah. But at any rate, I'll go into that more next week because we just don't have the time for it. But like I said, the more shade we create, the cooler our yards are, the shrubs do better, and you use less water, okay? Think of it that way, and it's better all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why proper landscaping is so important when you're doing a landscaping job. Hey, plant that tree on the south side of the house or the west side of the house. That's where the most heat comes from, south and west. And now if you were below the equator, it would be the opposite. It would be east and north. So, you know, just think about it that way.
I would not have thought about that.
Well, I know. That's why I told you, Dale.
I know. Now I know.
In case you live in Brazil or move to Ecuador or something like that, you'll know. You'll know what to do. Oh, gosh. But, you know, proper landscape planning is very important. It's important in what your home looks like. What it does for the resale value, should you choose to sell sometime, what it does for your atmosphere in your yard, and the usability of your yard, and just the beauty of your yard. When you pull up to your house, you go, "Wow, that's a pretty yard. I really mm-hmm. like it." It sets the tone for who you are, and that's why it's amazing to me that more folks don't get into it and realize there's a new subdivision in Winston where we re-landscaped the place. We put in sod lawns and we did all kinds of stuff and fixed the retaining walls, and it was an older landscape. It needed to be,
updated
and groomed and petted. And across the street, and this is fairly new houses, across the street there was a yard with grass that was about 2.5 feet tall. And there were bikes and trucks and toys all through it.
Oh, yeah.
And I never saw it mowed the entire summer.
Nice.
And it was like, and all the other houses are fairly well landscaped. And this one right on the corner stuck out like a sore thumb. And I thought, geez whiz, they don't even have a tree in the yard, for crying out loud. Nothing. Just this tall, lanky, ugly, weedy grass. And okay,
and kids' toys.
Kids, there was trikes and bikes and trucks and trampolines, all kinds of stuff. So it's good for you, and it'll make you feel good. So do it right, and I'll see you next week.
Yep.
Okay.
1, 2, bingo. All righty, where are you located in Winston, Mike?
We're about a half mile south of Winston, and look for the big green roofs. All of our roofs are green as Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. And by the way, all our poinsettias came in today. They are absolutely outrageously great and beautiful.
Come check that out.
Amen.
All right, the afternoon report is next on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's 5 o'clock.